From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz-Pena with your state and local news update. The Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center will open to the public on Tuesday, June 1st. It will be the first time since doors closed in March 2020 due to COVID-19 concerns. The visitor center will be open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. each day and will stay open as long as community risk levels remain safe for visitors and employees. Director Barb Miranda says visitors will notice some changes when they come in.
We do have a request that people that have not been vaccinated wear a mask and maintain social distancing. There are stickers on the floors to guide folks along the way. We do have one-way circulation through the visitor center.
Nobody will be asked to show their vaccine cards, so masking will be on the honor system. The building will also be limited to 25% capacity, which is about 75 people at a time. Miranda says staff members are beyond excited to welcome people back.
Interpreters are by their very nature creative and extroverted people. And it's definitely been quiet around here without the visitor center open.
And there's already a lot going on outside the observatory windows.
With mountain goats on the cliffs, and there's quite a bit of bear activity already. So really just delighted to have a space where folks can come in and enjoy the views out the windows and interact with Forest Service rangers that know a lot about the area.
Visitors will have to buy passes to get into the visitor center from now through the end of September. Those are available at machines in the Mendenhall Glacier parking lots as well as online. In other news, over the weekend, Juno drag performers hosted their first live show in 15 months. They invited people for a rowdy night of in-person, maskless entertainment with just one catch. You had to be vaccinated to get in the door of the Red Dog Saloon, and you had to prove it. With her vaccine card in hand, KTO's Rasha McChesney went to check out the show.
A short line snaked out of the door of the Red Dog Saloon on Saturday night as people waited to show their vaccine cards and IDs. And once you did, it was a little like stepping back in time, or maybe into an alternate reality where the COVID-19 pandemic doesn't exist.
We are getting ready to start this fabulous show. We're putting the final touches on our drag backstage.
Showtime in 5 minutes.
People are hugging. It's hot and sweaty and vibrantly queer. There's lots of glitter and gender bending, a shirtless bartender and suspenders. Virtually no one is wearing a mask. So many people are saying this is the first time they've gathered with so many other people in such a long time. The music starts to come up. People are settling into their seats and looking up at this glittery black curtain stage expectantly. And then suddenly, in a flouncy pile of black tulle and a tall, rainbow-feathered headdress, Juno's drag mom, Gigi Monroe, appears behind the crowd. Mouths drop open comically. People are so excited. The classic bait-and-switch works so well. She glides through the room, lip-syncing to this classic pink song. The energy is so high and the excitement just palpable. And for Monroe, whose non-stage name is James Hoagland, this was a moment of realization.
As soon as I came out and I saw that our audience, instead of sharing like the balcony level and the floor level to spread out more, everybody clustered together on the floor level and got as close as they could because they were just dying to have that experience. And that was my signal that everyone was ready for it.
Monroe and I caught up later in the week to chat about the show, and days later, she's still a little hoarse.
I completely forgot how to use a microphone.
She says, for the most part, everything went smoothly. It was just like riding a bicycle. No one forgets how to be social, how to enjoy a live show. They just sometimes need to be coaxed back into it. But there were some things that were different. If you paid close attention, you'd notice that she kind of kept her distance from the crowd. The other performers did, too. Usually they weave through the audience, amping up the crowd, teasing tips out of them. But Monroe says they discourage that during the show and ask people to consider tipping digitally or tossing money into buckets near the stage. For the most part, people complied. Though I did see one woman get in mid-show who hadn't bought a ticket or brought her vaccine card. She swore up and down to the door guy that she'd been vaccinated, though. And at any other time, that would have been a normal part of going to a live show, but it felt particularly weird when the show organizers were clearly trying to create a safe space for people. The troupe did two shows, one early and one late. Each was capped at 100 tickets, both sold out. Monroe says there was some uncertainty in hosting an event that large.
I kept waiting for someone else to do it. Someone else to be the first big event, whether it was for vaccinated only or not, but just to try to host something indoors that was for a larger audience. And no one had done it. So as time went on, I said, okay, I really didn't want to be the first one to push this, but I really believe in it. I have total faith and confidence that it's a safe thing to do.
She says some people in the Juno drag troupe were hesitant too.
I mean, I think on the performer side of things, it was a smaller cast because not everybody was quite ready to take that leap with me.
Even though they're done with digital drag for now, Monroe says for those performers or audiences who don't want to be indoors yet, they've got two live outdoor shows coming up this summer. In Juno, I'm Rasha McChesney.
Each year, the Juno Arts and Humanities Council hosts its Wearable Art Show. It's a fundraiser for the Council's Fine Arts Scholarships and Individual Artist Grants. Like many other events in the pandemic era, most of it was virtual, but that didn't keep the artists involved from having fun in 2021. This year, the show was sci-fi themed and featured outfits that were out of this world. I spoke to the winning artists of the show for this story. Amy Dressel and Nick Dehart dance and wave their thumbs up in synchronized movements to the energetic beat of electronic music for this year's Wearable Art Extravaganza. The theme this year was intergalactic, and their outfits were a perfect fit for the cosmic occasion. Dressel and Dehart sport mango-colored spandex jumpsuits and rainbow wigs made out of plastic straws. They have space packs with tubes that connect to their face masks. Dressel says the story behind their outfits is that they're space travelers looking for a good party.
So Nick sewed some jumpsuits, and then we made a lot of, like, adorned it with all kinds of different stuff that was recycled.
That recycled stuff included discarded COVID-19 vaccine vials that decorate their headbands, wrists, and space packs. Dressel is a pediatrician and has volunteered to administer COVID-19 vaccines. She says using the empty vials worked well with their outfit's theme.
That would probably be good for us to be vaccinated against whatever celestial stuff is out there. So it kind of was fun to be able to include that.
Dehart says the concept for the outfits, titled So Long and Thanks for All the Fish, was inspired by a popular sci-fi novel series.
We kind of did a little nod to the Douglas Adams Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and I just thought it was kind of a fun idea.
The outfits won first place in the wearable art competition, which was decided by judges and votes based on construction, innovation, and presentation. For Dressel, who's taken part in the annual Wearable Art Extravaganza for 19 years, it was a truly special moment because it was her first time winning.
It was definitely unexpected. It's kind of a little bit overwhelming. To be like, wait, what? After all these years of watching other people and being pressed by other people and saying, yeah, that definitely should have won. That was a great outfit. And then all of a sudden being like, whoa, wait, what?
Dehart says he was shocked they won.
I really didn't think that we were going to win. And I never participate to win. That's not really my goal. It's just to have the experience.
And he says now that they have bragging rights for the best of show this year, they're already planning for the next one. In Juno, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña. In other news, a tall, thin man wearing a hood and a mask was caught on a security camera plastering Nazi stickers on a Jewish museum in Anchorage early Tuesday. The stickers featured a swastika with words, quote, "We are everywhere." Another sticker was found the same day at Mad Myrna's, a gay bar in downtown Anchorage. Both Jewish and gay people were targets of the Nazis during the Holocaust. Laura Carpenter is an advocate for the gay community in Alaska and says the swastika is also a symbol of white supremacists and the far right. Carpenter says these actions disproportionately impact people of color in the LGBTQ community. And debate over the state budget will extend into June, with Alaska lawmakers breaking for the holiday weekend, and the biggest items, including the size of the permanent fund dividend, still to be decided. For more on this and other news stories, go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.